All right, everybody, let's go ahead and get started. And just FYI, I'm going to spend the first portion of the call going over the material. And then what I'm going to do is I love to open it up for as much time as possible at the end for you guys to ask your questions. And I want you to feel comfortable asking any kind of question about your business and as it relates to you know, your products, your marketing, anything aside from legal. Legal and accounting are two areas that I don't call my wheelhouse. I actually have people that help me with my business in those areas. But anything else relating to your building your practice and your coaching business is definitely open for questions at the end. So I appreciate your patience as we go through the content. And so let's go ahead and get started. My name is Terry Pappy. I am your host and will be leading this class today. And today we're going to be talking about mindset, the third of three series. And today is going to be about taking charge of your client lifetime value. So it's really going to be focusing on the, as it said in the description, you know, we spend a lot of time on our marketing and infrastructures to generate leads. However, you know, what time are you putting toward increasing the investment you've already made getting that new client? So this is really about retention. It's about creating value as you go along after you've already gotten those coaching clients. And so we're going to be diving into that. So I just want to touch base on the two other sessions that we started in April. Since this series was about mindset for coaches and building their practices, the first one was about transitioning from coaching student to business owner. And that was a really good session. We had some good Q&A at the end of that. The recording is available at ILCT's website. And then the second of the three series was making the sales and marketing part of your running your business easier, which was another great segment that really talked about, you know, the sales and marketing aspect of the practice, which everybody loves because it gets really tactical. So we also had some good Q&A there. So I invite you to go back and listen to those if you weren't on those calls or haven't had a chance to listen to them yet. And a lot of what we're going to talk about today will make that much more sense if you do. So let's go ahead and jump into today's topic. And before I do, I just wanted to give you guys an idea of my background. I've been in graphic arts, communication, and marketing for 35-plus years. And I've worked on the corporate side. I've worked in agencies. I've worked on the client side. And about 12 years ago, I was laid off of my job at Marriott, which is where I was running their web team, doing all their marketing. And so I started my own business. And so I help coaches, consultants, authors, speakers, all, you know, really build a business that's about them. I help them simplify their marketing. I help them with design, branding, customer relationship, everything about that whole aspect of business. And that's what I'm doing now. I participated in, got my coaching training from ILCT last year, and a great organization, and they invited me to come back and give a couple of teleclasses and to alumni and other students that are currently attending classes there. So that's kind of my spiel. And I wanted to let you guys know also, anytime you would like to reach out to me for questions or if you have any follow-up things that you want to discuss after this call, feel free to reach me at terry@better3.com. And again, that's Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, at better3.com. And that way we can actually go ahead and get a little more, roll up our sleeves into whatever it is you're struggling with. I'm happy to help. So today's teleclass is going to be Mindset, Taking Charge of Your Client Lifetime Value. And I'm going to get into what that means for those of you who aren't familiar with CLV and how that it can impact your business in a really, really positive way. So when you think about coaching, okay, as a coach or really any kind of service business expert, you know, where you're bringing your expertise to clients, unless you want to be constantly beating the bushes, stirring up new clients, you need to focus on building a client relationship mindset. Now, what I mean by that is instead of looking at what you need to do to sign up a new client to a series of coaching sessions or, you know, coaching program or group sessions, you need to shift your mindset to think about what you can do to have a long-term relationship with the clients you do have. Now, the biggest problem coaches often experience is that clients don't stick with coaching. I've actually been a coaching client who has not stuck with coaching, believe it or not. So I'll be the first one to raise my hand and say, yeah, that's been me. And so, for example, like when your clients, like they feel better or they achieve their goal or they run into a financial challenge, the coaching will end. And so you're kind of stuck with, it's almost like retail, you know, you're stuck with a situation where you really don't have a lot of control over that. And you really, no matter what you do, you're always going to not be in full control of what your clients decide to do. But there's a lot of things that you can do to influence that and improve the percentages of how many people you're going to be able to retain and turn into real advocates of your practice. So how do you really stop that from happening? Well, you got to stop being a coach. Now, I know that sounds ridiculous, but remember that you're running a business, and client attrition will happen if you present what you do as a coach. Now, this may go contrary to everything that you've been learning in coaching and what you've been doing in your business so far, but just hear me out. So I'll get into this in more detail because this has to do entirely with your mindset. So let's unpack what it is to have a client relationship mindset. I'll use golf as an example, okay? I've been playing golf on and off for over 20 years. And what I love about golf is that it's a sport that you can enjoy outside. You can travel all over the world and play. And it's a game you can always get better at. It's also a game of the mind. Now, I live in Orlando, Florida, and there's one course that I play near Disney called Lake Buena Vista. It's a beautiful course with lots of tree-lined fairways, tricky greens, and a lot of water. Now, there's one hole, hole number 6, that's a par 4, which means that it should take 4 ball contacts to get it into the hole and make par, okay, for those of you non-golfers. it's mostly fairway from the tee box, and it's pretty straight, but when you get up to the green, there's a stretch of water that's about 50 feet from the fairway to the edge of the green. So on most second shots, you're hitting over water to the green. Now, I say golf is a game of the mind because what do you think is the first thing I think about when I get up to my second shot? Don't hit it in the water, right? Well, because then I'll have to add 2 strokes to my score on that hole because I'll lose a ball and then I'll have to then chip it in from the drop zone just off the green. Now, without getting too golfy in my story, when I first started playing this course, this hole was my nemesis for that reason. That water just totally freaked me out every single time. Invariably, I was so distracted by the thought of not going in the water. What do you think I did most of the time? Yeah, I would chunk my second shot and it would go kerplunk right into the water. Oh, it would just ruin it for me. Now, what needed to change was what was going on in my mind about that water, about my capability, about my score. Fortunately, I play this course a lot with my boyfriend, Doug, and he is a great coach for me on many levels and definitely for my golf game. Now, one day we were playing and he said, don't worry about the water, because, you know, he's seen me hit my ball in the water pretty much every single time. So he's like, don't worry about the water. Don't even focus on it. It's not there. And I had a great tee shot on that particular hole and was in the perfect position, about 100 yards to the hole, right? So I took out a 9-iron, I set up, I pulled back, swung through the ball, and watched it go, and guess what? I sculled it, and it went ricocheting off to the right and into the water. Oh, God. Oh, I was like, are you kidding me? I couldn't believe it happened, right? I tried to do what Doug coached me on. I didn't think about the water. I just focused on taking the shot and getting it squarely on the green for a 2-putt par, right? That was like in my mind. I'm like, I could see it happening, right? So why did I scull it into the water? Because my brain was used to having that trepidation around getting over that body of water. I had a mindset about that hole because I'd played it so many times and had done so poorly. Now, remember how I said it was my nemesis, right? That it was hard and that I was going to lose a ball in the water every single time I came up to that tee box. And that I really wasn't good enough to par a hole with water on it. I mean, I had all this story going on in my head, right? So this is the tricky thing about mindset. It's not just that you have neural pathways routed in your brain to react or think about a certain thing in a certain way. It's that you've set your mind about something, and until you practice a new mindset, it will remain your default. So I kept working on my mindset on hole number 6 at Lake Buena Vista Golf Course. And you know what? That is now my favorite hole. And do you know why? Because I actually parred that hole one day. I got over the water on my second shot. I put it about 8 feet from the pin, and I made the putt. And that's all it took. One time to do it successfully for me to actually have a shift in my mindset to something that opened up possibility for me to perform differently on that hole and future holes that posed similar hazards. So it was a way for me to actually change how I was thinking about it and prove to myself that, yes, it is possible. I can actually swing that club and make it over the water. And have I gone in the water since then? Of course. But for the most part, I feel totally differently about my how I play that hole. So, and this is how it works with mindset. The first step is realizing you have a certain mindset. The second step is giving consideration to what contributed to that mindset, which, you know, it's typically one of two things, right? It's either a past experience or what we were taught by others. And I'm generalizing this, of course, you know, but I don't want to get into this whole thing about how the brain works. I don't like spending too much time on the second step, which is, you know, figuring out where you got that mindset, but just creating that distinction is usually enough. It's more about, you know, getting that distinction around the fact that it's an adopted mindset, or I guess you could say like a notion that you believe to be true about something, and it can be changed. That's the critical thing. It's like when you get that distinction, you know you can change it. And I'm sure as you're coaching, your coaching clients get this because you help them see these distinctions when you guys get in conversations with them around mindset. So it also allows you to see it for what it really is. And then you move on to step 3, which is asking yourself the question, what could I think about this thing instead? What type of mindset would I need to have in order for this to have a different outcome? So, and that's what I did around that hole number 6. I figured that out. Now, when it comes to your business, it's easy to get into the mindset of time for money and how many coaching clients will you need to make, like, you know, X dollars a month, right? I know because this is how it was for me after I got my coaching training and I started adding coaching to my business. It's important to calculate the revenue for your coaching practice and what it will generate. But there's more to creating a sustainable coaching practice than figuring out the time for money equation. The answer is adopting a client relationship mindset. And that's why I'm kind of bringing you full circle back to what that is. So when you look at your business as a tool to build relationships, which I am a huge proponent of in business, the way you approach your products and services completely changes. You're suddenly looking at clients, not just as clients you coach and hope they stick with you over time, but you're looking at it from the perspective of total client lifetime value. Now, there's a business model called customer lifetime value, which is a way for a business to predict the net profit or overall spend a customer will have with their business over the lifetime of that customer's relationship with the business. When you approach your business structure, your marketing, your products and services with this perspective, suddenly you open up new possibilities to create more revenue for your business with less clients. And that's like working smarter, not harder, right? So let me explain. So let's say I'll use round numbers. Okay, so in 6 months, you coach 10 clients. Each client gets coached like twice a month. So that's 12 coaching sessions times 10 clients, which is 120 coaching sessions. Now, if you charge $150 per hour session, you'll make $18,000 or about $3,000 a month, which is not bad, right? But what happens when a client or two or three drop off? What about the no-shows? What about the clients who run out of money or have to stop their coaching program? You need to go back out there and find new coaching clients all over again to replace those that leave you. Now, remember, there's always going to be attrition. You're always going to lose clients. You're always going to be getting new clients. You're going to get clients through referral. You're going to get them through your marketing funnel. But what you really want to do is you want to have more control over the clients you actually do have, especially if they're a good client. So that's actually the thing that happens with most coaches. They sell their coaching in a fixed block or program or segments, and they seldom prepare their clients for long-term relationships. So when their clients leave or finish their quote-unquote coaching package that they happily signed them up for, they have to work even harder to re-up them into a new program. Now, when you approach your practice with a client relationship mindset, okay, look at how you can be of the greatest value to that client over time. How can you become like a subscription service for them? How can you become an important component of their lifestyle? How can you make working with you so important to their overall life success that they can't give it up? That it's as important to them as having like internet service in their home, right? So these are the questions you need to be constantly asking yourself and challenging yourself with. So it's not only just part and parcel with looking at your business from the perspective of long-term value, but it's also from the perspective of, are you communicating with your existing clients or even your new clients as you're onboarding them and preparing them with the expectation that this is something that they're investing in over time. So I've got 4 steps that you can take that will help you not only adopt a client relationship mindset, but they'll provide more, it'll help you provide more value and become indispensable to your clients. So if you are taking notes, write these down, or at least the gist of them. I'll try to go through them slowly. But remember, this teleclass is recorded, so you can always go back to the recording and listen to it again, and that way you can think more thoroughly through each one of these steps. So I think you'll get the gist of them as I go through them, though, because they're pretty straightforward. So step one is go into your client's world and just try to understand what they struggle with. Really just kind of adopt their whole personality, their persona. You know, if you're into marketing and you've really dialed in your ideal client, what are some of the things that they struggle with? You know, not just as it relates to your specialty or focus, like if you're in wellness coaching, you know, not as it relates just to the health and wellness, but how it impacts their overall life or what's most important to them. So make a list of their pressures, their complaints. You know, what are they complaining about all the time? What are they excited about? What do they want? You know, what are their desires and their joys? And weigh them in order of importance so you can pick like the top 3 that will be important enough for them to actually invest on improving. Okay, so if you are that wellness coach, and if your clients are, like if you specialize in helping clients who are have been diagnosed with a chronic illness such as diabetes or heart disease, and they're obviously under the care of a medical doctor, they're doing their medical program, but they also want to adopt better eating habits or better exercise habits, you know, that's where you can really, I mean, to me, that's lifetime client value, where you can develop products and services that actually work with your clients over time. Keep them invested. Keep them working with you. And because, you know, as you know, in coaching, you're investing time in that person. So you're getting to know them. You don't want to break in a new client all the time. You don't want to break in a new coach all the time, because there is a lot of time that's invested in getting to know and getting that comfort level and building trust in those types of, exchanges when you're coaching and you're a client. So, and you guys know that because you're your coaches, so you get that. So that's step number one. Step number two is take a look at your expertise and how you can add more facets to the results you deliver. Now, I don't mean that you diversify your services and thin them out so much that you're trying to be, you know, everybody's solution, right? Nobody wants to work with a generalist, okay? You can still stay very specific and focused, but have multiple ways people can engage with you and your business over time, right? So, for example, if we go back to that wellness coach situation, right, where they specialize in working with folks with chronic illness but still want to adopt healthy practices, you know, you can just brainstorm ways that you can add more facets to the results. Like, you can even micro in on some of your services or coaching programs. You can start a group that's about, you know, how to coach people to learn how to start running if they're in their 50s and they want to start running again. And you can partner with an expert. Like, I actually know a consultant who actually works with that age group and teaches them how to run safely at an older age. And it's a great way to partner in with somebody. I mean, that's one way you could do it. There's tons of ideas. Okay, so that's step number two. Now, step number three is put yourself in your client's shoes. Examine why clients leave your practice. What is the main reason or reasons they do? Like, is it primarily cost? Is it because you're not doing a good job at drawing the connection between working with you and your client achieving their goals? So not only are we meant to be coaches who do our coaching, we also have to reinforce our value on an ongoing basis, because it's going to be easy for our clients to just, you know, take us for granted, so to speak, when actually we're a very important component in them being successful. Now, think about the mindset of your clients and why they stop working with you. Brainstorm ways you can help them overcome their justification for ending the coaching relationship. Now, I don't want you to have to try to figure out how to talk somebody out of a decision, but if you know this is inevitably going to happen at some point during the lifespan of you working with a person as a client, then you want to try to head it off at the pass. So you want to, you know, be giving that client the right kind of communication, support, questioning, inquiry to make sure that they're doing okay, that their coaching is going well, and not make it so much about the actual coaching content. You know, that's the important part, of course, but remember that there's a nest that everything lays in, and that nest always has to be soft and welcoming and embracing for your clients. Otherwise, something will happen in their life, and then they'll be like, okay, the first thing's got to go is coaching. You know, whether it's money, whether it's time, whether they don't feel like they're making progress, whatever their justification is, figure that out, and then figure out ways you can actually get ahead of that and start, you know, communicating and supporting and encouraging your clients so that they don't use those types of excuses. Again, there's always going to be reasons for people to leave your coaching practice. And some of them, honestly, because I've had a couple clients like this, you might want to say, okay, yeah, you're right, let's part as friends and not work together anymore. But most of the ones, especially the ones you really enjoy working with, the ones you're really helping and making a difference, you want to keep them, right? So you don't want something like money or time management to get in the way of them being successful with their coaching. Now, the fourth step is to brainstorm some creative ideas on how you can offer a variety of products and/or services to your clients to extend their relationship with you. Now, these can either be like ways to level them up into more expensive programs, or it can be a way to do some that are in parallel. There's a lot of different ways you can approach this, and it's really specific to you, what you're interested in, what your typical client would be, would welcome, and look at it from a client lifetime value perspective and stretch out the investment over time. Also, look at providing the same service, but maybe in a different way. Make it a no-brainer for your clients by creating like automation or an app, for example. Figure out ways to provide ongoing value over time that builds loyalty and referrals. Because the longer that you work with somebody, the longer you have that relationship, the more they're going to be apt to refer their friends to you. And when you're giving them reason to refer, and when you're kind of facilitating that through your marketing and your communications with your existing clients, you can really build a very strong lead generation funnel and client pipeline that makes your marketing to the cold market that much less. So if you know, the cheapest way to grow your business is obviously to get more money from the existing clients you have. I mean, that's like business 101, right? So you want to be, because they've already made the investment, they already trust you, they already like you, they've already paid you, they've already been working with you. So there's familiarity, there's that established relationship. So as much as they're willing to give you more of their wallet, they're also more likely to refer you. So that's why that last step is really important. So now, those four steps will help you develop a coaching practice that has diversity, that has options, and likely more impact for your clients because it goes well beyond the time for money one-on-one sessions or group sessions that you as a coach may grow even kind of tired of, you know? So treat your business like a restaurant. Come up with a new menu every season to keep the regulars coming back. Don't let your clients get bored with your offerings. Now, I'll give you an example. I work with a coach who helps me with my business. Her name's Kelly Roach. And being a coach myself, I, of course, get the value of working with a coach. So just the objectivity alone helps me see my business from a perspective of an experienced business person who can really help me think outside of my own limited views. But she doesn't just do the coaching sessions with me. She also invites me to do other programs that she has. So there was this one recent one that she invited me to, and I actually did it. And it was a write your book challenge. It was like a 5-day book challenge. And it was brilliant because she had this 5-day book challenge, and it was highly interactive via Facebook Live. So she would jump on Facebook. She'd do, okay, I'm going to be live at 8. Jump on. I'm going to give you today's tip. And it was literally in 5 days. She took you through naming the book, outlining it, you know, coming up with the marketing plan for it. It was amazing. She took us through very helpful steps, not only come up with the idea, but, you know, all that stuff that literally you could just start writing your book and have it done in no time. And because her 5-day book challenge gave you such a foundation and made it happen so quickly, when day 5 came around, and she invited everyone in the challenge to sign up for her full book publishing course, it was like a slam dunk for her because we'd already done so much of the work. It was like, well, of course I want to sign up for your course. And so in this coach's case, she created a lateral product that would be of interest and value to her ideal client. You know, it was something that she could teach because she was a published author and had gone through the experience. Now, she could teach us the ins and outs and be a coach to the clients who always dreamed of writing and publishing a book. So she deals with primarily business owners. So obviously, writing and publishing a book is a great platform builder for anybody in business, especially if you're an expert. So just to wrap up, I wanted this call to help you think differently about your coaching clients and to think differently about your business. You don't have to follow the time for money model of working with clients in sessions or even doing an online program or offering a concierge coaching program. There are a ton of creative ways you can continually add value to the people you work with. You can even partner with another provider who complements your focus and would be able to provide even more value to your clients, like that that guy that I know that works with the folks that want to learn to run again at in their 50s and run safely. So, you know, I really want you to just shift your mindset into more of a relationship mindset and look at ways you can be more creative with what you're actually doing. Okay? Now, I'm going to open it up to Q&A, but before I do, I wanted to tell you guys about a tactical coaching special that I have, right? So I know there are a lot of things challenging your business, and this is not a pitch, by the way. This is just me wanting to continue helping you guys after this class is over. And it's just for this teleclass. I wanted to extend a special on my tactical coaching. So I want you to jump on over and learn more about this special that I've put together for you. Just go over to better3.com/special. That's better3.com/special. It's B as in boy, E-T-T-E-R, the number 3.com/special. And as always, you can email me with your questions at any time, like I said at the beginning, even well after this recording has been posted. My email address is terry@better3.com. Okay? So let's go ahead and open it up to Q&A. And remember, you can ask questions about what I covered today, or you can ask questions about any aspect of your business, as long as it's not accounting or legal. I'll try to do my best to assist you. And the way you can unmute your phone is by hitting *6. So jump on in, and let's get some Q&A going. Come on, you guys. You got 30 minutes yet on this call to go ahead and ask me your business questions. So feel free. Remember, just hit *6 to unmute. Okay, guys. Well, if we don't have anything else, I guess we can just go ahead and wrap the call. Amy, do you have anything to add?
Hi, Terry. No, I don't. I'm going to we'll send out a follow-up email with your offer included. And
okay,
maybe if
great.
Someone thinks of something, they can contact you directly.
Yeah, more than happy to help anybody as they have questions.
Okay. Wonderful.
Awesome. Great. All right, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Have a good day. Bye.